Well, this is the third week of Advent, and I'm super grateful to Beatriz, who is interpreting, and Ethan, who's interpreting online for Zoom. Now, Advent, I have said every week, Advent is a season of anticipation. Advent is a time and a space each year that invites us to pause, wonder, and reflect. Why? Because Christmas is full of mystery, hope, and the promise of a coming king and a kingdom established in mercy, in justice, in peace. The song that Alejandro and the group just sang, O Come Emmanuel, those are taking prophecies from the Old Testament. And the prophecy, the hope, that one day God is coming to restore peace and justice in the midst of the desolation and the cruel wars that surround us and actually even take place inside us. Okay, Beatriz and Ethan, back to the notes. In week one of Advent, we visited the story of the Magi, told by Matthew in his gospel. In week two, we looked at how Jesus fulfilled the promise to bring light in the darkness. And that prophecy came from Isaiah chapter 9. The focus this week comes again from our Advent devotional that you get on your WhatsApp or you can download online. We reflected this week each day on Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. This is a fascinating text recorded by Luke, who possibly heard it firsthand from Mary herself. She retold the stories that had changed everything, not just her life, everything. Now, Luke was a medical doctor. He wrote a gospel, one of our four gospels. He wrote about miracles, the miraculous work of God during the birth of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. Luke wrote the book of Acts. Acts tells the story of what happened in the next decades after Jesus' resurrection, as people reacted and responded to this message of a Savior, Emmanuel, light in the darkness. This message changed lives and culture across the Roman world in those first few decades and on until now. So we're going to go to that text in Luke and that we looked at in our devotional. I'm going to read it. Listen while I read. Pay attention to the details. What is important to Luke or to Mary, who possibly told the story to Luke? Imagine Luke sitting there listening to Mary and writing it down, and then asking her some questions to see if he had heard her correctly and told the story the way it should be remembered. Listen for the details. What are the things that are interesting and important to them? Luke chapter 1, did I say Luke chapter 5? It's Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 15. In the time of King Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. He belonged to the priestly division of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Verse 8. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." Well, what grabs your attention the most? Do you remember or do you know why Luke is telling this story with so much detail? It's very important to Mary and to us all. You see, when the angel appeared to Mary, not in this story, but an angel had already appeared to Mary, the angel told her she would have a baby without ever sleeping with a man. And Mary wondered how she would ever be able to believe such an impossible thing. And the angel told her, "Nothing is impossible for God." The angel said, "Listen, Mary, even your cousin Elizabeth is going to have a child in her old age. She's already expecting a baby." Now that reminded them of the story of Abraham and Sarah, when God did an impossible thing, and everybody remembered the story. But that was so far in the ancient past. It's just a child's story, right? The angel said, "Go see Elizabeth, and you will know that God does miracles." Now, Mary is telling Luke the story in such a way that, or Luke is recording it so that we can check the facts of the geography, the time, the family history. We can remember that when Jesus came into the world, God was already at work preparing the way. So today, the most important thing I want you to remember is that God is always already at work. He is always preparing a way. Now let me read through the text again and make some comments this time that hopefully will help bring the story alive in some new ways and become more meaningful for us right here in 2022. Luke 1, 5 to 15. In the time of King Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. So, this is not a story that we invent, it says Luke. This is about a real person, Zechariah. He's a priest with a famous name. We know the area where he lived, and we know the basic time in history. We know the name of his wife. We know who they were descended from. Real people, in real time, in a real place, with parents and grandparents, and a life with responsibilities in the community. Verse 6 says, "Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly." So, these are really good people, Luke says. They, like, do everything right. Verse 7, "But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old." Now, Luke, the doctor, wants us to know that there is a context here of good people who have suffered deep sorrow, and they've carried some shame within their culture. Luke is telling us that this couple, from the greatest priestly family in all of Israel, descended from Aaron, the brother of Moses, they have grown old and they cannot have children. In their context, we understand, to be married and not have children was shameful. Most of the people, or all of the people, believed that children were a blessing from God. So, to not have children meant to not be blessed by God. It meant that God had looked away, that God had not brought joy or peace to their home. The family name carried since the ancient times of Aaron, the brother of Moses, would stop with them. This must have been a heavy burden, a deep disappointment that Zechariah and his wife carried through their long years. Once, verse 8 says, once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to their custom, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. And I say, so we can picture Zechariah. He's heading off to do his priestly duties in the temple. He's honoring God with his outward life and service. But inside, I think he's filled with a loss that is painful, shameful, and if he's honest, he probably felt that it was unfair. But Luke is telling us that Zechariah never quit. He never turned his back on God. He continued to believe, but he didn't look forward to his future with hope. That's why Luke says, both of them are righteous and blameless, but childless and now very old. That is the context. Now, does any part of that sound like something that you can connect with? Have you ever tried to be a good person, do the right things, and life is still unfair? And if you were honest, you would say, yeah, and sometimes it hurts. Does life ever feel unfair? Why do the good people get the bad deal? So how is your hope? Verse 11 says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. So I say, have you ever been startled? Lisa startles me sometimes because she comes up quietly and I kind of jump because I'm thinking of my own world. And she says, I'm sorry, did I scare you? And I say, no, you didn't scare me, but you startled me. Have you ever felt that? So Luke says, Zechariah was startled and gripped with fear. Now that's more like the time Lisa and I were walking with some friends in the woods. And we actually were hoping to see a bear. We went walking where we might see a bear. And suddenly we saw two bear cubs climb up a tree. And then the face of the mama bear from right behind the bush. I was startled and gripped with fear. Instead of backing away slowly, like they told us, I turned around to get up the hill and I tripped and fell down. Meanwhile, Lisa stepped in closer to get a good picture. I wanted to see a bear. I believed we might see a bear. But when the bear actually appeared right before us on the trail, I was startled and gripped with fear. Back to Zechariah. He believed in angels. He hoped, his religious hope was that, you know, one day I might see an angel. But when the angel actually appeared, he actually had lost his hope for anything new or exciting, and he was startled and gripped with fear. The angel actually appeared and spoke to him. Listen to the surprising words the angel said. Verse 13. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Just notice, not your many prayers, your prayer. One constant prayer across his life that God would not send him to the end. Shameless, shameful, disappointed, without children. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John, gift of God. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. Now, in verse 15 says, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. Now, hopefully, you know the rest of the story. This part is only the beginning. And really, it's only one small part of a much greater story. In fact, you and I are part of the bigger story. People just like Zechariah and Elizabeth, living the right way, but often losing hope in the midst of life's circumstances. People like them, people like us, people like me. The seasons of our life can cause us to lose our hope. Our struggles are real. And Mary, talking to Luke, or Luke writing this down, wanted us to know that God is really at work, and he really is present, and he really hears our prayer. In many ways, perhaps Luke wanted us to remember always that God's greatest miracles happen in the lives of real people, in real places, in real time. And I want us to know and remember that God is still making miracles happen. God is always already at work. He is always preparing a way. Let me say that again. God is always already at work. He is always preparing a way for us, in us. So how will we respond? Now, as we celebrate today's baptisms, let us remember that God is working. He is preparing a way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth, the reality, that miracles do happen. Angels sometimes appear. It's okay to be afraid, to be disappointed, even to lose our hope. Life does that to us. But you are here to renew our hope, to restore our faith, to show us that whatever is out there ahead of us, you are already there, preparing a way. Guide us in this Christmas to have the peace and the faith to trust in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.